Our epistle reading comes from Romans, the 9th chapter. Paul's concern for the Israelites is intimate. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all. God bless it forever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading comes from the 14th chapter of Matthew. Jesus feeds 5,000. Now when Jesus heard this, that John the Baptist had been killed, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down in the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it's my privilege and honor to welcome again the Reverend Dr. Esther Wakeman. And she and I share a couple things in common besides being PCUSA pastors is that we both went to the same seminary. However, she not only got her Master of Divinity, she went on to get her doctorate in psychology, a very, very rigorous program at Fuller. And so we welcome you.
Good morning. It's really good to be with you this morning. When I was about 12 years old, my family lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan at that time. And one day I had set the oven timer for some reason. I may have been baking, I can't really remember. I never have baked much, so I'm not sure why the timer was set. Anyway, the oven was by the back door, and we had a phone on the wall by the back door, and just as the timer went off, a loud, annoying buzzing sound, the phone rang. So I went to answer the phone first, and on the way, somebody started ringing the back doorbell and ringing it over and over again. What a cacophony! The buzzer, the phone, the doorbell, all going at once. I reached for the phone, I put the receiver up to my ear and mouth, and I turned to the door and I yelled really loudly, "Shut up!" Right into the phone. Well, needless to say, whoever was trying to call us that day hung up. Never did find out who it was. And whoever was at the door went away. And I went back to the stove and turned off the timer. I think. I can't actually remember what I did after that huge, "Shut up." I was overwhelmed, completely undone by all the demands that I felt were being made on me. I pushed everyone away. "Shut up. Go away. It's too much." I'm pretty sure that if I had been at the event in our gospel lesson for today, I would have responded something like I did at age 12, a bit like the disciples. "Send the crowds away, Jesus. Dismiss them. It's been a long day. It's been a tough week. Tell them to shut up. Go away. It's too much." Earlier in this time, a few days perhaps, Jesus had been rejected by his hometown crowd. "Who does he think he is?" they said. "He's just a local guy. We know his whole family." Well, Jesus couldn't do many miracles there. No one was willing to see him in a new way. They had him figured out. Right after that, he learned of the cruel and violent death of his cousin and colleague for the kingdom, John the Baptizer. Herod had had him beheaded. It was an ugly, unnecessary evil suffered at the hands of a pathetic, foolish ruler. It broke Jesus' heart, I think. The text says, when Jesus heard about it, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. He needed solitude, time with his father. But even his search for solitude was unsuccessful. People found him. Jesus' reaction? Compassion. In Mark's version of this story, it says, Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He saw their great need for help and care. Their leaders were not leading in ways that God desired. So Jesus served them, cured them, and taught them all day long. It had been a long week, and then a long day on top of rejection and very bad news. Dismiss the crowds, Jesus. They can take care of themselves. But Jesus still has more to give. Jesus has phenomenal emotional, physical, and spiritual stamina and capacity. Amazing. He has so much to give. At least he did 2,000 years ago, or so the story was told. Is Jesus still alive? And does he still have this kind of power and practical love to give? I'm preaching to you today as a person who believes that Jesus really did feed over 5,000 people by miraculously multiplying a few loaves and fishes. And I believe that he still longs to show his wonderful, caring hospitality to hungry people in the same way today. And he wants to include us in the process, just like he included his disciples back then. Don't dismiss them. You give them something to eat. Give me whatever you have, no matter how little. The Father and I, we'll make this work. You watch. I'm preaching to you today as a person who has experienced Jesus' presence and power in a personally transforming way, but also as a person who longs to experience so much more of his life and love. I'm here today because you have shared generously to send and support me for the work that I do at Paiup University in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Work that I do in the name of Jesus and on behalf of the Presbyterian Church and on your behalf. Thank you. I am deeply grateful. I want to share some stories of how Jesus has taken your gift and is multiplying it in Thailand. We have about 6,500 students at Paiup University, a school founded by the partner church of the Presbyterian Church USA, the Church of Christ in Thailand. Of our 6,500 students, only 8% call themselves Christian. Our students come to us hungry. Not so much physically, although we do have a number of students who need financial help for tuition and other expenses. Many of you have given generously over the years to the student scholarship needs of our McGilvery College of Divinity students, and for this, we are most grateful. Thank you. Please continue. Our young dean of the College of Divinity, Dr. Sathanan Bunyakiet, otherwise known as Dr. Golf, his nickname, who replaced the beloved Bill Yoder, son of this church. Dr. Golf is doing a fantastic job leading and serving our students of theology. He's strengthening our research, focused on understanding and supporting church ministry and strengthening local churches. And he's recruiting and mentoring and getting training for a new young cadre of teachers, teachers with track records in church ministry, like Tour, whom you hosted last year at Camp Wakanda. This year, one of our theology students, Borameet, now a third-year student, is the president of the whole Paiup student body. He's extremely bright and a competent leader, committed to serving his fellow students in a way that shows God's love and goodness. Pray for courage and wisdom for his young heart. There are huge challenges involved in his responsibilities. Some would love to see him fail. Well, many of our students arrive with physical or financial needs, but most of our students come with deep emotional and spiritual needs. This school year, which started in June, for the first time in our 37-year history, we have dormitories for all our first-year students. When I started at PIAP full-time about 11 years ago, I was deeply distressed to learn that we had dorms for only 120 of our incoming class of 1,500 students. Most of our students came from a situation of strong family control during high school to a situation of complete freedom in college, in private dorms just outside our gate. As you can imagine, this was a recipe for disaster in many lives. This year, we finally launched a residential life program staffed by a team of caring and talented young people, most of whom are passionate followers of Jesus. They are doing excellent work, getting to know students, loving and challenging the ones who stay out too late and drink too much. We have those in Thailand as well. Helping with tutoring, encouraging sports and music, and starting up a garden and a trash pickup contest. And we have two full-time chaplains on our residential life team this year. Lum and Ju are wise, warm, energetic women who connect readily with our students. They know how to organize effectively, and they're helping us develop what we hope will become a benchmark residential life program in Thailand. Not like anything any other school has there. That is rooted in love, where every student who comes to us will know someone who knows and loves God and can communicate God's heart of love. Three dorm residents approached one of our chaplains, Lum, within the first few weeks of the new semester and said, "We want to be baptized." Just like that. Right out of the blue. Well, not really right out of the blue. They had attended Christian schools like Prince Royal's College, schools of the Church of Christ in Thailand, and they enjoyed the visits of CCI, the Christian Communications Institute, that has brought Thai dance and drama and shared our art with you here on several occasions. They'd heard of God's love through CCI and through the chaplains at their schools and through their Christian friends. And they've loved God and trusted Jesus for a while. But because of family situations, when they were in high school, they were not free to be baptized. But now they're in college, they're in our dorms, our dorm chaplains have contact with them, and they can easily come and say, "I'm ready to publicly declare my faith in Christ and my desire to follow him as a disciple." We are delighted with this new development in our chaplaincy ministry at PIAP University. Another piece of this, four recent college grads from the U.S. and from India who are native English speakers are staffing our English resource corner in the dormitories and adding great value to our residential life efforts and our English enhancement efforts. Thailand is a member of ASEAN, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. By 2015, ASEAN hopes to be a community of nations, something like the European community, in which there will be free trade, education across borders, and many other cooperative endeavors. This goal will require vast improvements of competency in English in Thailand. Those of you who have visited know that English skills are quite limited among most Thai people. So PIAP University is making English skills enhancement a top priority for our students and staff. The need is huge, but our young volunteers are playing an essential role in sharing God's love and joy in the process. This church sent me to Thailand 32 years ago as a volunteer to live in a dorm, in a school, teach English, and share God's love. We need more volunteers at Piap University, perhaps you would consider committing as a church again to help us recruit recent college grads to join in this adventure over the coming years. Another new venture that my chapel staff and I have begun this year is an attempt to strengthen PIAP's organizational culture around five newly articulated core values: transformation for shalom, building trust through truth, service through vocation, delighting in diversity, and faithful stewardship. Our Board of Trustees approved these core values and then mandated us to educate and inculcate them among all 900 staff and 6,500 students. Whew, that's a big job. So we have developed a curriculum that we're calling our MP3 curriculum. Comes from Empowering PIAP Peace Leaders. There's an M and three P's. So it's our MP3 curriculum. As soon as I get back to Chiang Mai next week, we'll have our first half-day workshop for students on a Friday night from 6 to 10 p.m. That's a whole new concept, too, a Friday night chapel. Well, just before I left Chiang Mai a week and a half ago, we had a training event for this curriculum with our dorm staff so that these young people can tweak my old lady way of teaching into some more student-friendly approaches. The heart of the whole thing is love, the spirit of the second mile. Going 2 miles when someone asks us to go one, taking on the challenge that Jesus gave us to love our enemies and to respond to evil with good. Talk to the kids. A missionary is one sent to make disciples and to teach them to obey everything I've commanded. The church in this country has spent far too long making converts and church members and not making disciples. And we're determined at Piap University to make disciples and to teach what Jesus actually taught, and to find a way together to start actually doing what he said. And that's what MP3 is about. So we're learning about how to strengthen love-based relationships and how to reduce fear. We're learning that no matter how someone else treats us, we have the freedom and the opportunity to answer that negativity with compassion, forgiveness, and care. We can change the world. The day after the workshop, just before I left, Mew, the manager of the women's dorm, wrote me an email. She's been struggling with some painful conflict in the work situation. You know, when you're starting something good with great potential for great good, you can be sure there will be huge struggles along the way. And we are having them. But Mew shared in her email how she'd been struggling deeply and feeling quite down. And she could see how her struggle was affecting her whole team. Everyone was feeling yucky and even a bit sick. After our workshop, she decided to do some of the things that we talked about to strengthen love and joy and reduce fear, to look people in the eye with appreciation and delight, to express appreciation and gratitude verbally, to listen empathically. And Mew said in this email she saw an immediate improvement in her own frame of mind and in her staff. She wants to keep choosing to answer negativity with compassion, forgiveness, and hope. She told me she wants to add her energy to our MP3 efforts and help make it a success. As I read her email, I wept with relief and joy. She's getting it with so little input and seeing the fruit immediately. She can change her world. The loaves and fishes are multiplying. Jesus is at work in wonderful ways through his disciples in Chiang Mai. The needs are immense. The challenges are great. But I believe Jesus still has more to give. Jesus has phenomenal emotional, physical, and spiritual stamina and capacity. I believe Jesus longs to show more wonderful, caring hospitality to hungry people at Phayaphu University in Chiang Mai, Thailand, and through Christ Church here in Canton, Ohio. And he wants to include us in the process, just like he included his disciples back then. What is the key to Jesus' capacity? A few weeks back, a friend gave me a wonderful book. It's called Whispers from My Abba. It is the best thing I've read to date on how to learn to listen to God in prayer and through Scripture. It's practical and full of wisdom. The second chapter includes lots of examples of journal entries of the sort of listening prayer experience that the book is trying to teach. One of these journal entries, describes the thought and feeling process of a man who was considering the scripture passage in Philippians 2, 1 through 10 or so, that talks about Jesus' mission method. Paul says there that Jesus emptied himself and took on the form of a servant or slave. The journaler began by thinking about what Jesus emptied himself of, the various attributes of God. But then his thoughts turned to the question, after he'd emptied himself, what did Jesus have left? What was left? And he realized that all that Jesus had when he came on his mission to earth, all he had was his relationship with his Father. That was all. And that was enough. Enough to change the world. That was what Jesus wanted his disciples to learn that day when they were ready to dismiss the crowd, that huge, hungry crowd. Don't dismiss them. You feed them. Bring what you have to me. And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven. He connected with his Father. He trusted in his Father's power. He gave it all to the Father. And he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled and satisfied. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. Don't dismiss them. You give them something to eat. Give me whatever you have, no matter how little. The Father and I, we'll make this work. You watch. I'm so grateful for the ways I'm seeing Jesus and the Father multiply your gifts in our work at Phayaphu University. I'm so hungry to keep growing and to go so much deeper in my relationship with Jesus and with our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit, to grow my capacity to confront great need with more trust and greater hope. I long to become so rooted in my relationship with the Father and so sure of his love and power that any time that annoying timer buzzer and the phone and the doorbell all demand my attention at the same time, I'll calmly go over to the oven, turn off the timer, get those goodies out of the oven, open the door to my neighbor and invite her in, and answer the phone with a warm and interested, "Hello, how are you today? Do you want to come over for some fresh baked goodies?" Jesus wants us to join him and his Father and the Holy Spirit in the great adventure of satisfying the physical, emotional, and spiritual hunger of our neighbors here in Canton, Ohio, and around the world. Let's bring him our loaves and fishes, all that we have and all that we are, however little it is, and watch the party begin.
We have heard the word spoken and read.